Okay, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm impatient.
Get yourself.
You need
to learn to have more patience.
That's hard for me. All right, to kill a little time, I'm going to go ahead and
sing a song.
No, I'm going to make a few comments here about Brother Bruce's message. Not really comment, but we can discuss it or whatever, you know.
Sure.
First thing I want to discuss I titled it With All Your Heart. As God's people, I agree with everything you said, okay, by the way. So don't let what I say bother you. But we are to serve the Lord with all of our heart.
Amen.
I read a message one time from a man by the name of Ralph Bonnard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the message was, the title of it was about seeking God. And he said if
you can't... just drove up behind him.
Okay, all right. We'll let him come in. But he basically said, and that's a difference between using your heart. He basically said, if you're not seeking after the Lord, you don't belong to Him.
Right.
As a saint of God, I have to agree with that. I certainly do. Right. And you have the heart to do it. You have that special heart that the Lord placed in you.
Right.
He give it to you. And He's given it to me. I love to get up and read some of my scripture in the morning because the Lord, He's instilled by His Spirit, this love for His Word.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the next thought I have here, Mark, I have a, they're not all, they don't come in sequence, okay? So, anyway, he was talking about murders and how they've been lately been greatly magnified. But I have already made this statement to Linda and to myself also. It seems like, and I watch TV probably too much, but it seems to me like the more guns that are put out and laws that say, well, you can carry a gun now, they get to the point where you can carry one on your hip. Whatever the case is, the more guns that are allowed up on the street and in the state and everything, there are more murders taking place. Now, especially in my neighborhood I call Houston, it seems like every day we see where some driver's driving down the street,
right,
and they just decide, might be two or three characters inside the car, they decide suddenly, well, I see you on the street, I'll just shoot you. Yeah, and they do that. More and more we're seeing this.
It's not really a gun issue. It is a heart issue. And that's
well, it's both.
It's, well, I'm all for guns.
Hey, don't misunderstand me. I'm for guns, too.
But what we're seeing is lawlessness increasing.
Which is,
I believe it's the God is withdrawing His Spirit from this world.
And the further He withdraws, the more wicked a man's heart is.
Right.
And those that are so wicked, they're going to go along. They're going to find something mischievous to get into.
The depravity of their heart is going to manifest itself more and more.
I agree with that.
I think that's what we're seeing.
There he is. He's home.
Change of wording.
All right. But when you begin to discuss that across the state and everything, some people say, well, there are too many guns on the street.
Sure.
But I agree with this is the initial problem. The initial problem is that man's heart is more and more wicked every single day.
Bill,
he's come to the point that he doesn't have any natural affection.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why all these abortions.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what that is. And you know, Breitbart News will show in graphic detail some of these horrific killings that go on along the border. And when you see this stuff and how they take a human being and just dismember him and display it, I mean, it's just as...
Show the others what you can do.
Well, we're seeing exactly. More and more of this across the country.
Yeah.
But even this past week, we see it in our very own state.
Yeah. Right?
Like coming right out of Austin.
Yeah, right.
There was 14 people. Injured. I don't know how many killed, right. if any were killed. I don't know all the details. All I know is there were gunshots fired.
Right.
And somebody was driving down the street and decided to shoot into a crowd of people.
But one thing you know for sure, though, when something like that happens, it's not a person who's righteous or a person right with God doing that.
Well, man still got an active conscience, but if his conscience gets seared over to where he don't.
But it seems
affections completely die, and then he just do anything.
Right. It seems to me like it's contagious. That it grows sometimes.
Well,
along.
It is. Yeah, that's truly is so. This thing breeds.
Yep. Yep.
The same thing.
Right.
It's little of its kind.
Yeah.
And we see that in some of these larger situations. Up north, we see more of them up there, I believe, as far as I'm concerned.
When you get north of the Mason-Dixon line, you say you skies.
Or Ewens.
Ewens. But whatever the case is, you know, if one city has a gunfight over there, well, some of the others in the other town, well, we can do that too.
Yeah, there's people who mock at, you know, they somehow they think that they're going to get some notoriety out of it.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right.
But the whole thing breaks down to the wickedness of man's heart.
Right.
And when I start thinking about wickedness, first thing I want to do is go to Psalms 10 and Proverbs 10, I believe, the chapters. But they talk about the circumstances and the points that identify them. Joy, it's good to see you today.
Good to see you too.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed your friend.
I did.
We enjoy you here too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where's your daddy?
He's on the phone with my mom.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, I hope we're not wasting your time.
No.
But, some of the thoughts that we have today might be very interesting to you. Okay. Another thing that you brought up, Bruce, you were talking about a person's memory. That's the way I gathered it, okay. But what I am, I'm amazed at the memory being so significant and so brilliant from the men that we see in the Old Testament. More so than we see even in our lifetime today. I'm not talking about the New Testament now. I'm talking about our memory. Their memory was very... They didn't have a written Bible like we have it.
Well, it's interesting to think about what Moses wrote. I mean, you know, God gave him the pattern for... the clothes and for the worship and that tabernacle. And he had to know it all.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed at it. I mean, it's like, I read over it, I don't know how many times, I still don't.
But there are others in the Old Testament, the same thing. They had a good memory. Memory of what they had learned about God. And and they were dead on the doctrines of God. And it didn't have to be written down.
Well, what they wrote down was the inspired word, so.
Yeah.
Give him much credit for it.
Well, he might not. Right, maybe.
Except he was a faithful servant.
Right. Well, and that's it. I mean, it's like one of the verses I quoted. The psalmist, incline my heart unto thy testimony. Yeah. Well, that's a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because he knew that it's the work. And you think about how many people in the world, most of them, I mean, I don't know, 80%, maybe it's higher than that, have no belief in God, the God in Christ.
80% only?
Well, I don't know if it's that high. I mean, it's probably, I mean, I've thought about it before and I have no idea.
I have no idea either, but there are a bunch of dummies around.
Well, there's a lot of idolaters.
Idolaters. Wicked people. They don't care. They're only thinking about the flesh. Today, Joel, we're going to talk about the resurrection of somewhat. And that's what I'm going toward, maybe even with some of these statements here. But when I begin to look at the resurrection, Bruce, I go to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And as I look at those scriptures in there, I'm going to basically read them. I'm going to read more of them than I make comments about. But I'm not going to go straight through the 15th book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start with verse 51. Oh, the sun went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did you turn that light on over there?
I turned it off so that this, because I thought the sun was shining through. Okay, all right. Hey, that's okay. That looks good. All right, I want to read. Now, I'm having trouble with my old eyes. They're getting worse and worse. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to start with verse 51. Now, when I go forth, I'm not going to read everything in chronological order. I may skip around in that chapter. So don't be amused or confused or don't fuss at me. Please don't fuss at me. Hear that sound again. Okay. I'll back up a little bit. Can you hear me, Linda? Okay, Psalm, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 51. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. That's what we're going to be talking about. The resurrection is a mystery. Now, we've studied, all of us have studied this issue down through the ages and through our life and everything. And we pretty well have an understanding of what a resurrection is. A resurrection is simply, to me, it means someone brought to life that is dead. Sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually. Okay? And we'll see more of that in this chapter here. And I'll continue there through the end of the chapter probably. But we shall all be changed. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, if you're here standing on the earth doing your job or whatever you might be doing, and the Lord returns at that particular moment, you will be changed. That's what the scripture says. You will be changed. Now, if somewhere along the line you might have a little bit different idea about the verse here, what I'm saying about it, well, that's just fine. Speak up. I mean, okay, I'm more of a teacher than I am a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm a reader and a teacher. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the same, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. No matter what the circumstances, where are we yet? When this change comes about, it's going to be instantaneous, in the twinkling of an eye. You will not even be able to understand it. And hopefully, as the elect of God, we understand it now. People that walk up on the face of this earth have, as far as I'm concerned, two bodies. There's the physical body, fleshly body, in other words, as the scripture used, or I might use the term spiritual body. Okay. So you have two bodies, Brother JT.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the people out here walking on the streets today, whether they're on a job, going to the grocery store, driving a car, whatever, they don't understand that. They disagree with it. All they know is that they have a fleshly body. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. See, there's what the scripture calls your body. Incorruption. Incorruptible. It doesn't mean very much before God. In comparison to the spiritual body. And this mortal must put on immortality. This body will put on immortality. Do we understand that? Not all of it. Do the wicked people that we've been talking about earlier, do they understand it? No, they don't. In fact, some of them deny it. They deny the spiritual body. That's the reason there's a denomination around today that they feel like that when you die and go to the grave, that's all of it. That's everything.
Yeah, that's what most people do believe.
Mm-hmm. They don't believe in that spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
But this Bible here teaches us that there is a spiritual body. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and I interject with the words, at the same time, or when the Lord gets ready to give you that immortality body, spiritual body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. If you belong to the Lord, when you die, and I've always been taught, Brother JT, that, and believe that when you die, if you belong to the Lord, you go directly to heaven to be with Him. I don't know how to explain that at this time. All I know is when the Lord gets ready to take me, I'll be there with Him.
Yeah, well, you might say that time has stopped.
Yeah. For you at that particular time. But the scripture says death is swallowed up in victory. How would you state that, Brother JT? When you go into the grave.
And you're talking about the resurrection, so.
That's correct.
You have come victorious through death.
You are victorious through death.
The kernel has got to die before it can be resurrected.
And we can see that in Scripture. You're reading Scripture. But that's fine. So. Verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's no, for us, there's no victory in the grave.
Right.
No, my victory is because I belong to the Lord that I will be with him. And sooner or later, whenever the moment occurs, there will be a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have a new body. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our victory is. Because we belong to him. We're in him. We're going to have victory. It's not, our victory doesn't come to us in that grave. It comes to us because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Therefore, let's go to 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Gives us something to think about here. We should remember this. We're safe in the Lord. We belong to him. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's our command. We can look at this many different places in the Scripture. Wherever we are in this life, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or even before. For ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes I feel like I'm very helpless. Have I done exactly what the Lord wanted me to do? Have you done exactly what the Lord wanted you to do? There's so many different jobs out here in the world that mankind seemingly can go to. And he's not very thankful about the outcome of it. Let's go back to verse 44. Speaking of this body, once again. It is sown a natural body. That's what our body is. It's a natural body.
Mm-hmm.
It is raised a spiritual body.
Mm.
It's easy to read those words, Brother J.T., and yet we might not fully understand every second, our minute thought about it. We might not, but we can trust in the Lord that we are in his hands. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And this is the main reason that I wanted to look at this passage today, Brother Jordan, that so many people you meet out here on the road that they don't know anything about the spiritual body. Their life and everything that they have is in the physical body.
More than likely in life after you have a spiritual body.
Yeah, if you begin to talk about it, say, well, you're nuts.
Okay, yeah.
But we're not nuts. we believe that we do have a spiritual body. So when my body is placed in the grave, or wherever it departs this world, it's the spiritual body that's coming to nothing. It will be destroyed.
Yeah, this body is corruptible, so it must put on incorruption and do away with it.
That's what the scripture said. It is a son of the natural body is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. I believe you said that this morning, Bruce. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Isn't that great?
That's where the victory is.
That's where the victory is. The quickening spirit is the spirit of God that's manifest, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, natural, that which is spiritual. Now, Bruce, years ago in my life, I'm speaking of myself, when they began to talk about it, this particular position that a man was in when he died, he passed away. I never thought about the soul at that time. But now I know that I have a soul. And it's separate from the body, the flesh. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 46. That was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is so many people have trouble with that word, Bruce, and you mentioned it earlier today, afterward. Afterward, that was, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. 48. As is the earthy, such are they that also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, Joy, do you have an image of the earthy? You don't know. This is my image. This is my image. This is, you can see me. It's an image. There's something there. There's substance there. We're fleshly. We're born of the earth. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit. You've heard this quoted before. It's been used a number of times. Listen to it carefully. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Well, hold that in your mind. Let's look over to chapter 2. And then chapter 2. Verse 12 through 16. Now, it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The unrighteous, wicked man, and all he knows to talk about is things of the flesh, things that he likes, and things that satisfy his pleasure. But which things also we speak not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Bruce, I don't know, understand why I'm like this. But when someone comes over to see me at my house or any place else I am, I desire to think about spiritual things. I'm not very interested in talking about their speed boat or their deep sea fishing or their really their job either, Bruce. I want to talk about things of God. I want to get the scripture out there and read a portion of scripture to them. And as the Lord reminds me and as he directs me, I want to use those things to talk to them about. And those people that usually come over, Bruce, are friends. Professing friends. But then, where did I go to? Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. Have you ever noticed that before? You begin to talk to somebody and everything you talk about is foolishness. They don't care about hearing things of God. They don't want you to go read verses over there that's in Psalms 98 or Psalms 10 or over in the book of Revelation or any other place. They don't even listen to them.
But it doesn't make any sense to them.
It sure don't.
It's all, what would we say, Greek?
Yeah, well, right here it says foolishness.
Yeah. So.
Again, I read, but the natural man receiveth, that's the natural man we're talking about now, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why are you talking about this? I'd rather talk about deer hunting. And I've been caught in that trap before myself. But he that's spiritual judges all things. Everything that a person begins to talk about, you'll notice that you weigh it in your mind and in your heart. And it's because the Spirit of God is directing your thoughts. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. No matter how often I talk to my neighbors or anyone else alive, it does not matter what they say about me. Really don't. That's some kind of image of the world. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, that we have the mind of Christ? I like that phrase right there. We, the elect of God, those that belong to him, have the mind of Christ. The verse that I like, I believe, is in the book of Jeremiah, but anyway, we're taught whether to turn to the left or turn to the right, as he instructs us to. Now, someone read a scripture this morning from the book of Isaiah. We can go over there if we want to. Hold your place there. Isaiah chapter 25, and I'm going to read all the verses. I believe you read it. Isaiah 25 and I'm going to read verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. Speaking of the Lord. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Some of us need to read that every day for 8 to 10 times, like myself. So we can get up. But he will swallow up death in victory. Okay, I want to go back to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians.
Chapter 15, Isaiah.
No, 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
I'm going to go back over there. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead? Earlier in the chapter, in the book, if we'd read it all, Brother Jordan, the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the grave, from the dead.
Right.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Because he died and rose from the grave, because we belong to him, because we're going to be just like him, we will be resurrected also.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
We're going to be like him. He's the first fruits. We are the second. That word second just comes to my mind suddenly. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but we're going to be just like him. Of them that slept, we're going to be the first fruits of them that slept. That is Christ. Christ is. We'll be the first fruits. As I was reading that, I was thinking about our dear brother that was mentioned earlier, Brother Kurnut. So because we believe, and Linda said it, to the fact that he was a godly man, he loved to read the scriptures. I believe that he knew the Lord. And because he knew and believed in the Lord, when he went into that grave, when he passed away, he was going to come out like the Lord. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made. Brother Jordan, there we are.
Yeah.
We'll be made alive.
Right.
Because he was he arose from the grave and he was alive. Because he lives, we live.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're back in chapter 15 again, and we're going to look. Well, let's just stay right there on that page. Go down to I want to start with verse 44. These verses are very precious to me, and I hope you read them time and time and time and time and time again. Don't lay them aside and forget about them. Verse 44. It is sown in natural body. Now, Brother JT, when you go out the funeral yard out there and you're placing somebody in that grave, that's not a spiritual body in there, is it?
No, no.
It's a natural body.
Right. So when they turn to the dust from which it's taken.
It is sown in natural body. It is raised in spirit. Raised a spiritual body, though. Now, I have trouble with that time span between there, Brother JT. Somebody else might have something to say, but I know that in the scripture it talks about when you pass away, you're going to be with the Lord. If it's a while before the Lord takes me out, well, that's okay. Because I have confidence in his word. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Did I read this one earlier?
Mm-hmm.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Yeah, it's got life in it. That's what the quickening is. See?
Mm-hmm.
It's got life. It's living. New.
When you were on that construction job, Brother Jordan, well, I remember when I was out there. One day I was out there and we were building a farm where our stairway was going to go up to, it was a commercial job, but anyway, this stairway was going to be rising up to the second floor or whatever. And we were building a form of the concrete. And somehow I was real close to that iron stairway that was going up to the second floor up there. And I come down with a hammer and I hit the edge of that rail that had a, it was down. And it was at an angle. And guess where it stopped? Come here and I'll show you show you the Yeah, there it is, right there. That's where it landed. That's where I had the blood just start squirting out all over the place. I didn't say anything bad either. I really didn't. You weren't there though, were you, Linda? Do you remember me doing that? You don't remember that? I remember it. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural and aborted, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. The first man is of this earth.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, when the Lord got ready, he gave us a spiritual body. I don't have any other way to explain that right now. But I know that he gives us a spiritual body. Those that belong to him. Let's go back to one verse here. And I will stop right there. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that power come from? From the living God. From God. It so pleased him to give those that belong to him a new body. And in that body, they go to be with him and to serve him and to glorify and please him. And this all gives God glory to go about and doing this and committing. How much does it glorify God for us sitting here today? I don't know. But I believe it was a mighty power that God gave his precious son. It is sown in dishonor. That's our body. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. We're raised in power.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? Don't ask me. Mm-hmm. Any comments, Brother Jordan?
Power of the resurrection.
That's the power of the resurrection.
There's two resurrections.
Yes, tell us about that first one. The
first one is a spiritual awakening.
Okay.
And the second one then is the body.
Is the body.
Being changed to incorruptible.
The body is
just corrupt and it's just wasting away.
And that's all it is.
Yeah, it's dying every day.
And so many people stand for it. They're so great because of it.
Yeah. But, no, it's good.
Look at quickened, me, I have a body.
The quickening spirit that also points to the fact that
how many people
anything to do with his first resurrection,
and I
nor does he have anything to do with his second.
Right. I hope all of us here believe in that spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Bruce, you have anything to say?
No, it's amazing though how much money they spend on their physical bodies. I mean, you've heard about these people.
Are you talking to my wife?
No.
I understand.
These people go to the plastic surgeons and that fellow down in Brazil that's making himself look like Ken. I mean, it's like tens of thousands of dollars.
I've been seeing on TV, brother, these ads come on, and they have a little jar of makeup. It's, I mean, my finger won't even go to the bottom of it. I mean, it does go to the bottom of it. And it's about 2.5-3 inches around. And they'll pay $100 for it. And they'll put it on their skin to make it smooth and pretty.
You walk through Macy's or Dillard's and see.
I'm not talking to you now. I'm really not. I have to be careful with my wife. She'll go over there and buy a little jar like that. Now, she doesn't buy the $100 stuff, but she'll buy one that's about 2.5 inches round and everything and put it on her skin, and it's supposed to take the wrinkles out. And just a waste of $9.
Because you were complaining?
Yeah, you're right.
You were complaining.
I said $9!
That's bottom line.
$9 for a little jar of grease. Okay, all right. That's all I have.
Go back to what you were talking about earlier, that Cain produces Cain in verse 33 there. Said, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good men. And that's what it is. It produces more corruption.
That's exactly what it does. Yes. Amen.
The old body, if it be a natural body, that's what it does, produces more corruption.
I would like to encourage everybody here to read your Bible every day. Every day. If you're seeking after the Lord, I believe that you will.
Sure.
Okay. Bruce, dismiss another word of prayer. Since you're in a hurry.
Our Father and our God, we do thank you for this day and thank you, Lord, that you have not only put it within our hearts, but you so arranged it that we all could be here this
Amen.
Morning and to hear your word proclaimed. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you we have this place to come to. We thank you we do have your word. And Lord, we thank you for the times that we've spent in it. And Lord, we don't glory in ourselves. We glory in Christ because He is the one who saved us from our sins. And He is the one that gave us newness of life. And Lord, we do look forward to that day when we either cross the Jordan River here.
Yeah.
Or you come in the twinkling of an eye and catch us up to be with you. And Lord, we do pray for our pastor and his wife and their grandkids that they will have a safe journey back here. And they'll be refreshed. And we can meet up again next Lord's Day. Thank you for this day. Pray that you'll take us all home safely. And that we will honor you throughout the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.